Well, moms, happy Mother's Day, and we are so glad to be a part of this time together. And welcome people back after a long, long year, and hopefully, moms, your Mother's Day is so special. I wanted to bring Gina, my wife, up today, and as we continue just sharing and some thoughts of whatever it takes for the gospel, I just wanted her to come up as we think about moms and we want to honor moms. And I think what would you like to say as we open up?
Well, we do want to just say happy Mother's Day for you guys this year, and I just hope that you have a great day. For all the moms in the room, man, just tonight, that's amazing, the number of children. I can't wait for grandchildren.
Really? People like those?
Yeah. But I'm going to get heckled here in a second by some one row
in the
particular.
Room.
Yeah,
they're in the room. But
we do want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And then just to globally look at that, you know, as well, I know that for many of you guys, you have somebody who you may not call, who may not be your mother, but you've got a mentor mom is what I like to call them. And they've stepped in to fill that role of mothering. We want to honor them as well. So hopefully you guys will have a great day. Yeah. And I love that we're talking about generosity today. Oh, there, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, there you go.
And so, I love that we're talking about generosity today as we speak about moms as well.
Very good. And you said you pulled up some statistics.
I do have some statistics.
Oh, moms.
So we're going to do a little quiz. So I love this. I had to be creative to find statistics that I haven't used before.
That's right.
So here we go. So how old, Jean-Marc, do you think the oldest mom is? Like the oldest, not the oldest mom, but like the when she gave birth.
Like when she gave birth?
Yeah.
55.
No.
65.
63. You're close.
Yeah.
63. How many children do you think is the most, like one person gave birth to?
Like one person?
Mm-hmm.
25.
69. I know.
What?
Like, that's like several a year.
Several?
That was back in
1725. That when?
That she started in 1725. So, anyway.
Is she done yet?
Yeah, 1765 she finished.
Oh,
so do the math on that.
69.
The largest baby is 22 pounds and 8 ounces. That's some respect right there.
That poor lady.
And then card giving goes up an average of 50% right before Mother's Day, with 152 million cards given on Mother's Day. And I can vouch for this because I was at Market Street last night and all the men were there.
That's right.
They were there with
planners. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Show up.
I remember one year, I don't know if you remember this, one year you gave me a Mother's Day card and it was blank, like it wasn't signed.
That way I could use it the next year.
And then you asked for it back. That is a true story. You're like, I can use that next year.
I forgot to sign it. I do remember
that. You forgot to
that.
Sign it. But you did go get it. You were one of the 152 million.
I got it in the envelope.
Yes. 82.5 million moms in the United States. The average age for new moms now is about 25. And this is a little bit older than it was several years ago. It was 21 in the 70s.
Okay.
So average, you guys have heard this one before, average is two children. In the 50s, it was 3.5. And in the 70s, it was 7 to 10.
Those were the good old days.
What? I like this one since I'm a working mom. Average moms, if you combine, you know, their job plus their at-home job, they work about 13 hours a day. And so if you add that up, that's if they don't work the weekends, that's a 65-hour week. So that explains a lot. How many diapers do you think that a person will change on a baby by the time they're two?
By the time they're two?
Mm-hmm.
365, two a day?
No.
1,500. Am I off a little?
So there's more than two a day, 7,300. 7,300 diapers.
Y'all need to let them fill up a little more.
A little bit more. They make them better now, but still. 2 minutes and 5 seconds is how long we women spend changing a diaper versus the men who spend 1 minute and 36 seconds.
Attaboy. We see no reason to linger.
So how many of you guys are moms of toddlers or preschoolers? Well, this was enlightening to me. If you're a mom of a toddler or preschooler, they grab your attention once every 4 minutes. So that's 210 times a day. So, moms, if you feel like you never finish a thought or a task, this explains exactly why.
Absolutely.
You're distracted.
Yeah.
What do you think my least favorite chore, though, in general, mom's least favorite chore is?
Changing said diaper.
Probably, but they said vacuuming the stairs. And I guess it is, because I never do that.
So how would you know you didn't like it?
I don't dislike it. I just don't do it. So
you might
research.
Love it.
I love research. Research suggests that moms who give birth later in life live longer. And then this is my favorite, that having kids makes you smarter. Sometimes I doubt that, but they like to tell me when I'm not. But
oh, my goodness. Well,
yeah, those are some good stats.
Those are some good stats. I was a little off on that diaper thing. You know, as we come in our whatever it takes for the gospel, you know, today we're talking about generosity. And we thought, boy, nobody exemplifies a generous spirit and a generous attitude and a generous heart like moms. And so, moms, thanks for being so generous and so gracious with your time and your energy. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have your Bibles open or your app open, we're going to see some principles of generosity that we're not just talking about money. It's with everything. And if you think about moms, when you invest in your kids, the return is amazing, and hopefully this will be one of those days that you will see a return on all the love and all the care and all the kindness that you are, both in the room as well as those joining us online. Sweetheart, you want to read our verses today?
Okay, sure. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, and it starts like this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. So that's a lot. That's verse 9, chapter 9, 6 through 15. So we're going to just kind of take that today and break generosity down into smaller chunks.
Yeah. And as we begin and we think, we're gonna flow back and forth from just having a lifestyle, but also as who we are as Christians. For those who didn't know, I asked our missions team, Justin was down a few minutes ago, just delivering gifts. If you didn't know, when you give to Cottonwood Creek, I thought I'd just share with you a number of things that we're involved in that you may or may not know. Some of you may know this, some of you don't. First of all, we have a number of missionary organizations that we support, but we also specifically have missionaries in these specific states that you support just when you give in China, in Japan, in North Korea, in India, in Prague, in Romania, in Greece, in Moldova, in Belize, as well as in Bolivia. Those are specific missionaries that we as a church here at Cottonwood Creek support. But we also have a number of different organizations that when we give, there's a percentage of everything that is given that goes directly to these organizations. The Cooperative Mission Program has over 4,000 missionaries around the world that you are providing for as they seek to do whatever it takes to share the gospel. Also, state mission sending agencies to different areas and spaces in the state of Texas. Also, locally, we're involved in a Collin County church network and organization. So as a church we then turn around and give, and they provide resources for smaller churches so that they can continue to be effective as well. You're involved in a school, if you didn't know this, you're involved in a school in Latvia. You're supporting a school and an orphanage in Kenya. You're supporting a school in Belize for those who are underprivileged in each and every one of those areas. You support Wycliffe Bible Translators as they're going around the world. An Embrace Ministry, which is a foster care and adoption ministry that we're a part of. Locally, we support Hope Women's Women's Center here in our area, right in McKinney. Also, Young Lives. We're part of giving to Young Lives. That is for teen pregnancy, helping moms and girls who get pregnant at an early age to help them find fulfillment in life and God's grace and love beyond just the missionaries and those local agencies. Right now, you're connected with about six church plants directly. And what we do here at Cottonwood Creek is every time we identify a church plant, we have actually sent people out of our church to start a church. Once they get fully functioning, then we move to another one and another one and another one. So over the years, we've done many church plants around not only locally, but also around the state and also through our nation. Here are the ones we're involved in right now. Redemption Church in Fort Worth, you're supporting them. Cottonwood Creek Korean Church right here in our area. Cottonwood Creek Denison, a church in Denison that as they grow up, we're looking to rebirth that church and let them go as a fully functioning body of believers. Then in Baltimore, we identified Baltimore a number of years ago as a place that desperately needs the gospel. We planted two churches. Well, we're currently involved in two churches. We've had some roll off as they've gotten up and going. Captivate Church as well as Graffiti Church. And give God a hand in that. I love that. Yeah, there's some folks that have been up there making all of that happen. Then locally, every time you give, when you are generous, Cottonwood Creek is generous as well. Local, Allen Community Outreach, North Texas Food Bank, Community Lifeline Center, XPOW, which is working with those in abusive situations in our area, a cancer ministry with Allen Presbyterian Hospital. We have a board on seat on their board of directors there as we give 3E McKinney, Samaritan Inn, as well as our very own benevolence ministry. We have our own benevolence ministry. There's money is set aside to help those, both in our church family, as well as in our community. So when you think about Cottonwood Creek and you think about generosity, not only do we want to be filled with generous people, but we want to be a generous church, and we certainly are that. And so as we think about this idea of whatever it takes for the gospel to be generous and sacrificial in living, we know, moms, you exemplify that in a very powerful and a real way. And as we think about those verses that Gina read a few seconds ago, I see three things that drop out, that really pop out at us. And first thing is there is an attitude of generosity that we all need to have. If we are going to be generous, it starts with an attitude. Boy, you think about a mom waking up in the morning, and if you got a bunch of kids and all of these things, you've got to have the right attitude. And Paul addresses the attitude. You want to read those first two verses, 6 and 7 there?
Okay, so 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver."
Yeah. You know, as we think about that idea of really what it means to have the attitude, I love the way Paul talks about it. He says, remember this. You know, it sometimes requires a reset for our mindset and our heart. We live in such a selfish society. We live in a world that is all about me and thinking about me. Paul says, hey, don't forget this. Remember this. You know this when you think about God's indescribable gift, that we more and more as we grow and mature in our faith, we want to remember the grace of God. But then the second thing he says right there, we're talking about attitude. It starts with remembering. But then he says, make a decision. He says, they decided in their heart. It's an intellectual decision to be generous. It's something we need to remember, but it also is a decision that God has been generous to me. I want to in turn be generous to others around me. And that is a decision. Then they followed the decision with an action. It says they gave. They actually gave. They followed through. It's one thing to think about being generous. You know, it's another thing to actually be generous. If we, in our lives today, if we intellectually know it's Mother's Day and we decide that we should do something great for moms, but we don't actually follow through and do something, we've missed the whole point. So I want to encourage you to not only remember it, decide to do it, but then follow through with your generous lifestyle. And then finally, I love the idea. It says, why do we want to do that? Because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, if you you can go read the research, and the more generous people are, the happier they are. It's just that way. people who are consistently worried about and concerned about meeting the needs of others, they have a tendency to be happier than those who are always focusing on someone else meeting their need and someone else providing for them and being stingy. And so we want to live a lifestyle, first of all, that is generous. One, it makes us happier. We are more pleasant to be around, the more generous we are, even though sometimes we get worn out. But more importantly, then it says, not only are we happier when we're generous, we please God. How many of you want to please God? It says God loves a cheerful giver. And so as we think about being generous, certainly it starts with the attitude. Do you have some thoughts?
Right. I love concentrating on the fact that generosity is not just an action, but it is an attitude, right? Yeah. And it's easier to do when we have the right attitude, right? So when we look at generosity, and John Mark brought this up earlier, it's not just, yes, it is the generosity of your financial blessings that you have been blessed with. But in addition to that, it's also a few other things. So we wanted to talk about that. So one thing that I want you to ask yourself, if you were to give yourself a number between 1 and 5, right? Where would you put yourself? Are you a 5? Are you a very generous person? Or are you a 1? And so our challenge to you today is going to be to really, you know, ask yourself, you know, do I apply this principle? Am I generous? Am I a generous person? Can I move from a 1 to a 2 or from a 5, I guess, to off the charts, right? And so there are several things in addition to money that you can be generous with, right? And one of them that is more valuable to some of us than anything is our time. Yeah. And I know that this changes with different phases and stages of life. Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to sit in a class that our women's ministry is doing here at Cottonwood on Sunday nights. And it is a class that challenges ladies to become, you know, stronger leaders. And each week they have homework. And their homework for the week before I was speaking was that they had to plan time to do something for themselves. And I thought, well, I usually looked at homework as something unfun, but these women in the class, they went around and they shared, you know, what they had done that week to just take time for themselves. And it was, I mean, they were stressed about figuring out a few minutes of the day that they could, you know, just relax or do something that they wanted to do. And it looked different. Like for some people, you know, went for a walk. Some people had coffee with a friend. Some people, you know, read a book. Some people took a nap. But my favorite was the one who she took a shower and shaved her legs. Like that, I remember those days, right? And so, you know, during those days, your time is crazy. You know, like your time, for you to say, when can you be generous with your time? Some of you guys may be thinking, I've started a new job this year. I've, you know, work is 10 times harder than it was a year ago. I'm a new student. I've added being a student to my job. I've, you know, whatever it is, you know, but we can still challenge ourselves to be more generous with our time in some way. And then secondly, I think we can become more generous with our affection. Like, especially if we have young kids, you're like, oh, I don't have time to love anything else. Like, I remember when you wanted to get a dog 1 year, and I was like, no, I don't have time to love anything else,
yeah,
right?
You were done.
I was done. I was waiting on the best
tank was
one.
Empty.
Do what?
Nothing.
So, what did you say?
I said, I love you.
Okay. Well, so, but yet we still can, you know, bless others with, you know, with showing them love, with showing them kindness, you know, even though we may not feel like it, we may be tapped out. And then our attention, we can be more generous with our attention. And man, this is hard nowadays because we can work constantly. You know, work is on our phone is constantly dinging, you know, or, you know, we can be distracted. But being more generous with your attention means you're you give undistracted attention to those in your life, in your circle, and even outside your circle. Maybe it's that you need to listen to a coworker or something, you know, just take the time to do that. And then finally there is, you know, the being more generous with your finances as well.
And generosity is an attitude that goes way beyond just thinking about money. It is our time, it's our talents, it's our affection, and it's also our money. The most recent statistics say that around us locally and nationally as well, is the average person gives about 2.5% of their income, only about 2.5%. 5% of their income to all nonprofits, not just to the church. And, you know, if we think in God's word, it is a generous attitude that we have, not just with our time. We want to be generous with our time, our talents, our affection, but also our finances, man. And as I read some of those mission sending agencies and the things we're involved in, the more generous you are, the more generous we are as a church. And so we talked about a little bit of a plan. I mean, for someone, when it comes to our finances, where is a way for us to move from where we are financially, if we aren't generous, to where God wants us to be at that 10% mark?
Right. So so we said, just in all aspects of generosity, we said, you know, just start small, wherever you put yourself on that scale, just to kind of say, how can I be more generous with my money, my time, my attention, my affections? And so for one, start small. And then another is develop a plan. And your plan, you know, like we were just saying, with time or money, it may vary according to what stage you're in. But whatever stage you're in, make a plan. You know, like even young teenagers, they can make a plan to be generous with their time, you know, even younger than that, you know, college kids, whatever age you're in, you can make a plan to be generous. It's not just for when you get older and right. mature.
Yeah, and sometimes the plan changes. You have to change the plan. If COVID, the pandemic was extremely difficult, your plan this year for giving may be way different. I love what it says. They decided in their heart to give according to what they were getting. That's the beauty of a 10% tithe, right? Is it if your income goes up, you go up, you give more. If it goes down, you go down. But as she said, start small. If you're at zero, maybe you're overcommitted financially, credit card debt, you know, move it to 2%, then make it 4%, then make it 6%, and move towards that 10%. And then if things change, change your plan. We changed our plan this year. Our plan is always, I like to do things systematically. I like to give with my credit card. And by the way, as a pastor and as a school teacher, which he always was, we knew exactly what we were going to make, right? It wasn't like we were in sales or anything like that where it was going up and down. And so I'd put my credit card in. Why did I do that? Because I like getting points back from my giving. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, if I'm going to give and be faithful and generous, I might as well go ahead and get points back. But this year's different. Gina's no longer teaching. She's now got a real estate career, and she's doing that. And so she asked me in January, she says, what are we going to do for giving this year? This is kind of her annual conversation. I said, well, I just made a guess. I just guessed what I thought you would make. And then if you go above that, we'll modify the plan later. If you go below that, it's just a wonderful. It goes from being a tithe to then an offering, right? It's above our 10%. She goes, I didn't want to do that. And usually when you guys, by the way, note to self, when your wife says, I don't want to do something, that's probably a good reminder not to do that. So don't do that. And I said, what do you want to do? And she goes, I would rather then take around, pull mine totally out, and then every time I do something, we'll give off that. And so she's excited this year about every time, you know, she makes a sale that she wants to give off that sale, and that's going to be her gift. So we changed the plan. So if you're way beyond where you used to be, change your plan. If something drastic has changed, it's okay to change your plan. And so generosity is about just, man, where does God have us and where does he want us to go?
I just really want to know what you predicted I was going to do. Like, did you predict I was going to be successful or no? That's a conversation we can have later.
They're listening.
Yeah. Okay, so in addition to starting small and developing a plan, you know, we said that if you are trying to really develop an attitude of generosity, then seek people out that need help. Yeah. And I was shocked. This past holiday, a lady in my life group, she gave every member of our life group $100. And it was $100 cash. It was in an envelope with a Bible verse on it. And she had stipulations to the challenge. If we accepted the challenge, she gave us $100. We couldn't give it to a family member or a friend. We had to pray about who God wanted us to bless using this $100 with. And we needed to share with them when we gave it to them that this was God's blessing on you. And so when I started praying for God to show me people who were in need, I was very convicted, and I could have given it away five times over. And so some of the stories that were shared at our testimony time of people, helping a single mom with her groceries there were just some really neat stories of things that I thought, had we not been watching, we would have just missed that, right? And so it was very interesting.
Yeah, being around people in need, and you ask God to open your eyes. What'd you do with your $100?
So you guys remember the story of the worst Caton day ever that John Mark told from the pulpit of the day that many things happened, but one of the things that happened was my car was broken into at a funeral, and they took my purse, and in my purse was a lot of other things, but it was the $100 in the envelope with the note and the verse. And so I've been praying that person, him or her,
let's don't do that again in your class, because that cost me about $1,000.
know the return yet.
Yeah, neat is I came in that night, and she's sitting at the counter, and she's got her Bible. So what are you doing? She goes, I'm praying for the person who stole the $100, that they might read the little note and they might get saved.
I prayed that they would get caught, but they
did
not.
That's right. She did. She didn't care if they were witnessed to outside of prison by the verse or inside prison. Is true.
But just when you really ask God to show you, who is in need around me, who's in emotional need, who's in a need for attention, and sometimes those are the hardest people to give it to, but just that God would bless you with that ability to provide those needs.
Yeah. And so as we think about generosity, it's an attitude, and moms, you exemplify that as much as anybody and everyone, just always giving. But here's the beauty of what Paul says, and he's talking to the Corinthian believers, is there's always a return. There is a reality that if we have the attitude and we are generous, there's always return. God promises that. He gave the indescribable gift. The return for us is His grace, His love for all of eternity. But Paul says right here, when we are generous with our attitude and then ultimately with our gifts, that we then have a return. And so notice what Paul says. I'll just read it to you real quickly. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly. I love these words. So that in all things, at all times, you would have all that you need, that you could abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. As you think about that, and we think about the return, we've developed the attitude, the heartbeat, that whatever I have, I want to be generous to give. But then notice the return. He says, first of all, the first return is you're blessed. He says, God is able to bless you abundantly. He didn't say just a little bit. God doesn't bless you a little. He blesses us a whole lot. Abundantly is what that translated word is, beyond our wildest dreams. Then the second thing is, there is the idea of a provision. That the more generous we are, Paul says, listen, when we give, God will then provide all that we need. So what happens? We might think, I better save up because I only have this much. But Paul says, listen, you will always, when you are generous in your attitude and your actions and your lifestyle, that you will always have everything you need for every good work. And we can think back over our lives that, when we had four kids and we were just strung out, or three kids in college at the same time, it doesn't get tighter than that. Three weddings with 12, all of that good stuff. But the more generous we are, it just seems like God continues to provide for us. And then finally, I love the idea that Paul says, your righteousness endures forever. We don't always see the return. She may never see the return on the prayer, praying for the person that stole her purse and stuff like that. But we understand this. When we are generous, Paul says, there is an eternal harvest awaiting for all of us. And I believe that. Sometimes we get to see it right before us. Other times we'll have to wait a long time to see it. I love what it said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, in everything I did, this is Paul saying, in everything I did, I showed you that by my hard work, we must help the weak. In other words, Paul says, I worked hard. It's working hard. Man, I want to gain stuff. I want to work hard, but that I should help the weak. Remember what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. There's that connection between I work hard to earn more, but then I also use those earnings to be more generous. What's your thought?
Well, so I was just going to add Proverbs 11:24 to that, and it says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And I like this because it talks about that emotional refreshing that you do get when you're generous. And it's funny because if you look at money, you know, if somebody overpays for something, like I'm in the, like John Mark said, I'm in the market right now. And if you overpay for something, I've seen people get angry about it. But if you overgive for something, it's refreshing. And you're still talking dollars and cents, but the whole heart attitude is different.
That's right.
And so I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we think, you know, there's an attitude. The attitude is, man, I've been blessed. I want to then be a blessing to others. There's a return. When I am blessed and I bless others, God promises to provide even more. But then there's a third idea, which is there is the source when we consider, man, God has given us everything that we had. You want to read those verses?
Sure. "Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God."
Yeah. You know, as we think about that, I love when we think about God being the ultimate source. It says right there, and a lot of times we think only from this perspective because this is who we are, right? We think of, okay, my job is to leave here and go sow. So I've got to go sow. Notice what that verse says. That verse says we should focus on the source of our generosity. It says that God has already provided the seed to the sower. A lot of times we think, man, if I had more seed, I would sow. Paul says right there, you've already been provided the seed. The question is, are we going to sow? And as we think of it that way, man, we step back and say, man, maybe I do, if I'm really honest, compared to the world, everybody in this room and everybody watching online is probably in the top 2% of the world's wealth. You probably are, regardless of what you think you make. You're probably there. So seed has already been provided. The question is, do we need to do a better job of budgeting? We offer Dave Ramsey budgeting courses here all the time. Why? Because we need to understand, I probably already have enough seed to be generous. Maybe I'm not doing a great enough job of budgeting it. So don't forget this aspect. It's not just about us leaving here thinking, how much seed do I have in my bag? It's us leaving here being reminded that God has already put plenty of seed in our bag. Our question is, are we going to leave it in the barn? Or are we going to scatter the seed? The second thought is this. Not only do we want to think in the idea that God has already provided us enough seed, that our job then is to go sow. Man, when I realize that what I have and what I sow, it's God's to begin with, I don't have to worry about the return. Remember what Jesus talked about, the farmer going along sowing seed, and some was on good ground and some was on bad ground. There is a reality. Even over the years, we've given through as a church and as individuals, we've given to organizations that turned out, yeah, we probably don't need to give to them anymore. You know, that's not on us. Our call was to be generous sowers of seed. And so as we journey forward, I want to encourage you to just develop a habit of being generous people, understanding that as we leave here today, God's already given us seed. The question is, are we going to be generous to share it as well? Do you have any thoughts as we think about God's indescribable gift?
Well, I think that's a great challenge. And I think that if we take it and run with it, then people will notice something different about us. And as we're in this series, whatever it takes to share the gospel, you know, like I said, people notice people who are generous with their time and their talents. And that's the perfect segue to be able to share your faith with somebody. It starts with first investing in them, either time, attitude, attention, or talent, or money.
And you know what's cool for me today is you're getting some nice gifts from our kids today.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know? They've already told me. And you know what's really awesome? Is that three of our kids have graduated from college and they have jobs. So it's not my money. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That usually it's, you know, Dad, I want to get Mom this. And then she finds out. How would you always find out what you were getting?
Usually just look at Amazon, but that's the way they find out all their gifts too.
That's right. So anyway, hey, hopefully as we journey here, moms, hopefully you know how much we love you here at Cottonwood Creek. And thank you so much for being a model of generosity and sacrifice with your time, with your talents, with your energy, and with the joy that you share. Baby, you want to pray for moms?
Sure.
Let's do this. Moms, would you stand? I'd love for Gina just to pray over you as we close here today and pray that y'all would have a great day.
Yeah. Well, like John Mark said, we're so thankful for you and hope you do have a great day. And kids, be nice to your mom no matter what phase you're in. They are the best.
So it will go well with your soul.
Yeah,
that's right.
Father, we come to you today, Lord, and just want to pray over each of the ladies that are standing, Lord. We just pray and we thank you for them and for the work and the effort that they do, Lord. We want to just cherish them today. And Lord, just pray that their day would be blessed and restful and refreshing. And Lord, just also want to pray for the dads in the room, Lord. We know, I mean, after listing all those statistics, sometimes we know we're not that easy to live with. So we just pray for them, pray that you would just be with the dads in the room and help them to have perspective and patience. Lord, we pray for the children in the room and for the families, Lord, and the grandparents, Lord. We just pray that you would just bless them today. Help us to honor you with our generosity, no matter where we are, Lord. I pray that we would grow closer to you with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.